This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins and you can find me at Conkers3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my good friend, Wheelie Dealer, at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. Today I have a very, very special guest. And that special guest is Katarina Ali. You can find Katarina on Twitter at _MTAUS. Katarina is based in Sydney, Australia, and we're going to be speaking to Katarina. She's had many, many lives thus far, including motherhood, marketing, executive management, and has recently found her feet in investing and trading over the last 5 years. And unfortunately, this means that Katarina is buying less clothes and less shoes, but we are blessed to have her from down under. Katarina, how are you?
I'm wonderful. That's a great introduction. Thank you. It's on the money. On the money there.
we're chuffed to have you, mate, because it's a few months since we started speaking, and Pete's been on and off with his health. So it's brilliant that we've finally got a chance to speak to you. We're going to talk today about your mindset, your thinking, ASX, US stocks, cryptos, NFTs, you name it. You're a very busy woman, mate, and holding down a full-time job.
Yes, yeah, it's timing everything, like everything. I just allocate certain times to do what I need to do, and we get things done. And that I learned that very early on. I tried to do too much at once, and everything suffered. So I learned to, just allocate certain times for social media, for investing, for research, for life, for everything. So that made it easier once I figured that out.
You know, I think that is such a good idea. I am very much into this idea of sort of time windows where you sort of, you know, you have a couple of hours during the day that this is done, a couple of hours this is done, a couple of hours this is done, sort of breaking things up like that and keeping structure. I mean, it sort of sounds boring and routine, but often it's a really good idea.
It's been proven to be that's how you're most productive when you do that. I think I did many years ago I did a course in time management, and that is one thing that sort of came back to me was really allocate that time and 45 minutes and then have a break, 45 minutes and have a break. Yeah. So you get the best out of it. Yeah. Yes.
So Katarina, we've spoken and you said that, you know, you knew very little about investing, trading or finance. And then you just started to refine your skills, reading and research, and you also said to me, "Ooh, and some courses." So, just tell us about the building up of your, you know, your brain bank, your knowledge bank.
It started like over about 5 years ago. You know, we've always had some safe investments in the ASX, but I felt I needed to take a little bit more responsibility with what was happening in my world of money, and make sure that I had my independent money, but that I could earn my own money if anything was to go wrong. My husband's here, we're all great, but that was just something that crossed my mind one day. And so I just started doing some research. I started doing my courses. My very first course was an Investopedia course. Just sort of go straight to the source, and found quite a few others from there. YouTube, people underestimate the power of YouTube, but you have to be very careful and not get too carried away with hype on YouTube either. So
didn't you get infused by the Lamborghini and Ferraris?
Oh yes, they went Lambo, absolutely.
You know, these guys who bought a Lambo after a week of trading, didn't that inspire you?
I wanted two, Peter. I wanted two. No, it was one thing that came to me very early on was patients, and that was instilled into me whenever it came to the market, and that was through a friend of mine as well. And patience, if you learn patience and mindset before you start trading, before you start investing, is the best thing to learn, I found.
Wow, that is, do you know, that is such a great comment, because one of the things that's always struck me is people tend to dive in, buy in, you know, whatever, you know, usually junky mining companies, and then they maybe sort of move on to planning their portfolio a bit better. But they're sort of psychological, and the management and the patience stuff, that comes later. So it's so amazing that you said that, like, why did you think of doing that first?
So once on my journey through all of this, sifting through all this information, I ended up meeting someone online and just was chatting, and they took me under their wing a bit and just sort of said, nope, do not invest a dollar until, you know, there was a book I read. Trading in the Zone was it. They said, you read that book.
I've heard of that. Who's that by?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'll grab it in a moment.
It's a famous book. It's a famous book, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Douglas, I think it is, something like that. But I'll get that.
Yeah.
Trading in the Zone and The Richest Man in Babylon. So you read them once and you read them both again. What they helped with was realizing, and you don't get it instantly until you're actually trading, but they both helped me realize that, yes, patience, time in market, all that sort of thing that they say, but it's how you feel when you're losing. It's how you feel when you're trade after trade after trade are losing trades. Wow. And how to help combat that, because that's where most people get lost and just give up. And how to feel.
How did they suggest to combat that then?
It's more about realizing your mindset of this is more in Trading in the Zone, but yeah, realizing your mindset of are you scared? Are you not looking at something how you used to look at it? I think one of the examples they gave is two kids, one being very scared of a dog, one not, and it's both the same dog, but it's a mindset, it's an experience they've had that keeps crawling back into their mind without them realizing it. So it all sort of correlated with trading, and that was quite amazing to me. So I just had to remember that. And the other thing was not only the losing but the winning trades. It's like, oh, that was scarier, I thought, was I'm winning. I'm really up really high. Now what do I do? I've lost it. I don't know what to do. And bang, there you go, your profits, because you didn't go in with a plan. So once I had learnt the basics and everything, I got those books. I really, you know, you're not going to adhere to them. Like, you're not going to go, yes, of course I was patient. Of course I did everything they told me to. That's impossible. Like, you know, we're human. Yeah. Like, you know. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're in it for the money. Like, I don't care what that's why we trade. That's why we invest.
Yeah,
we
do you know, that's interesting. That's interesting because you say, you know, we're in it for the money. But I bet you enjoy the challenge and the learning and the struggle and the, you know, the so many thought processes around. I bet you enjoy that.
I relish in it.
Yeah.
I relish in research and learning new things. When you know, especially in crypto, that because I'm so open to learning new things. What's a blockchain? Like, oh yeah, what is Bitcoin? What, you know, like I still am learning every single day. And yes, I do relish in all of that and trying to, I'm never going to pick the bottom or pick the top, but, you know, getting in that zone and all that sort of thing. So
it's often said, isn't it, that if you focus on the process and focus on the way of doing the trading, the money comes as a secondary thing in a way, you know, and it's almost like you're more likely to get the money if you attack it with that mindset. If you attack it with a mindset of I'm here to make money, you won't make money. You'll lose.
No, you'll lose. You lose. And that's especially the quick money. We could probably chat a little bit later about that one, but these people that are in there going, yes, I want to make a billion overnight. Yeah, you're not. You're going to lose. 100% you're going to lose, and that's that. But, getting into that mindset, getting into having your plan to get into it, into a trade. The other book the three books were the three books recommended were Trading in the Zone, The Richest Man in Babylon, and I forgot one of the most important ones is how to read financial statements.
Oh, that's so important, especially like you say regarding the listed entities, less so obviously cryptos and so on and so forth. But a lot of people don't take the time. They read the first paragraph, the first and second paragraph of an RNS, and that's it. They read ahead and they don't read later on that actually they've had lots of different capex issues or FX issues as the reason why the share price is going down. So often an hour after the RNS has come out, or 2 hours, or even midday, people are scratching their heads saying, why is the stock down? I read it as a positive, you know, so they're not looking at the finer details embedded into the RNS. So it's quite important to learn how to read those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And set your settings on your scanners and so forth. I set up my own Excel sheet with the levels that I'm want. Now this is investing. Yes. So and the levels that I'm looking at companies, I want them, you know, certain areas of less, you know, I want it more than the number one, preferably number three, but number one, and you know, so things are less than 20%, more than 20%. So I set up my spreadsheet. I set up an Excel spreadsheet, and I punch in those numbers to what I want, and then I have my scanner set up, and I'll just scan. So that has come down a bit lately. I used to do that at least once a week, and now that's probably once a month because crypto has taken over a little bit more. That was in the day when I never had more than 10% of crypto in my total portfolio. But we've had, you know, look, we've had some joy lately. We've got a lot going on in the last year, so that crept up. But always keeping those investments, but still keeping that methodology whenever it comes to trade. Like trading is swing trading. Very rare I'll do a day trade unless it's crypto, but mainly swing investing and swing trading.
When you say swing trading, so that's like holding position for maybe a week or something, is it, or what?
Yeah. I think up to like, a week to 2 months, I think, is a swing trade.
Oh, quite a while then, 2 months. I mean, that's to a lot of people, that's long-term investment.
That's true. That is true. But, yeah, it depends what it is. So that's where I sort of, got those. Once I read that balance, how to read a balance sheet, that was a big game changer as well, because it just helps cut out a lot of things. And, yes, it's great to find, you know, that company that is at the beginning and, you know, it's at 5 cents and you know, it's going to go up to $50, you know, the next Afterpay or something like that, which my son was in and then sold too early, but we won't go there.
Oh.
That hurts still. That one just really hurts.
So Kat, I want you to touch on a little bit about your core holdings, and we're going to talk about crypto a bit later on, because when we were talking before, you were talking about the American market having a couple of core holdings, the one that we spoke about and the second one that you've got. Do you want to talk about those two for us a little bit?
Yeah, so basically I do the US market as well. It's actually quite a favorite because it's so many recognizable brands over there. But my two probably biggest and core holdings are Apple and Salesforce. So CRM is the ticker on Salesforce, and Apple APPL. Mm-hmm. They're probably Apple, as we were sort of chatting before. Apple still surprises me, but it shouldn't, because I am so invested in the company. It's got so much behind it, and it is going places. But I like its navigating this new world, this new era that we are coming into, but doing it wisely. So they're not just jumping into new things like some of the other tech companies that we may see. But I do like the way they're navigating things. And Salesforce is my biggest reason getting in Salesforce again was the company, the financials, the, you know, the backing behind it, the everything about it. But Salesforce is it's a customer relationship management tool. And I know from my background in marketing that marketing's a type of, and business development is a type of occupation that's really going to be very hard to replace by any artificial intelligence. Now, and that's a whole other thing. I love that side of things as well. But it's one of those things that's going to be very hard, but you need data. And Salesforce is probably one of the number ones to get you that data for the everyday company. You know, there are other companies that have much more sophisticated type of things, but this Salesforce is one of the best for the what they call the B2C, the business to consumer type of company.
Salesforce, from what I can tell, is one of the most dominant, isn't it? And I think with all these software kind of things, there is, you know, even though we've gone to a software as a service cloud kind of model with most things, you know, have either gone that way or heading that way, there is still a massive overhead in changing systems. So once a company has gone Salesforce and all of its staff are trained to use Salesforce, all their systems, you know, their accounting systems, their purchasing systems are all geared into Salesforce as well. It's very hard for a competitor to knock Salesforce out because the cost of change is immense.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not only the cost, they don't realize the cost involves not just software, but the time for a successful changeover is at least 6 months to a year. Only because I'm going through that at the moment, but it's, you know, it is 6 months to a year. But yeah, exactly. And the data, it's simplified the data to read because there's no use you getting this great data and not being able to interpret it. So again, that was the appeal for Salesforce for me.
It's a strong company. I'm just looking at the data here, and it's up 14.8% year to date. So it's done quite well. In comparison to Apple, what you've mentioned earlier, it still seems quite a relatively small company. You know, at 261 billion, but that's a big size for a software company because of what it does. But I wanted to talk a bit more about Apple and the fact that Warren Buffett, or some people are saying, you know, Charlie Munger actually got Warren and Berkshire Hathaway into Apple. They've initially invested $1 billion. I think it's up to about 36 in total they've invested in Apple now, and that's probably worth nearer to $200 billion now. And that's done phenomenally well this year. So I suppose it's done well for your portfolio as well, Katerina.
It has. It's just something I add to every couple of, like, they're just, when you've got great companies like that, I just add as I go. That one is up. I'm up about, I think it was, I don't look at it all the time, which is, you know, that's something I've learned to do as well.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I think I remember my last one on Salesforce, I was up 43%. And I think on Apple would have been about 58% from memory. Brilliant. But that was a few weeks ago, so that could be down a little bit now with Salesforce.
It's just such recent highs and got to a valuation of nearly 3 trillion, if not surpassed it, and then it's back down again. But it's up 31% year to date, and that's the biggest company in the world at the minute. And for that to still be able to climb 31% in a year just tells you the quality of the stock, you know.
Yeah.
Kat, what are your thoughts around valuation? Because while you guys were talking, I had a quick look on SharePad at valuations, and I knew that Apple wasn't what I would call particularly crazy. I think it's on like a forward PE of about 28 or so, which I think is sort of okay for the quality of what you're talking about. If I look at Salesforce, which again I think is a quality business, and for the reasons I've said about it, so difficult to knock out, that's on a forward PE of something like 54 or whatever. And I just get a sense that the NASDAQ, particularly in the smaller side, although I noticed a lot of the smaller NASDAQ tech stocks have now corrected or in the process of correcting, but that isn't the case with the big ones. And if interest rates do start to slowly rise up, it should reduce the PE multiples that the investors are prepared to pay for these things. Have you had any thoughts around that and as to whether that is a concern of yours and whether it makes you think, oh, maybe I should top slice part of the holding? Or what are your thoughts around that?
Are you reading my strategies? Yeah. No, Apple, I'm not too worried about because I know that's just going. I'm up so much on it. I'm okay with that. That's very long term. But I will take, if I see that go quite well or I think we're about to crash down, I may take some profit out of it. Salesforce, I'm definitely watching in that regard because. I do think it is a bit overvalued. It was like I was in Tesla a little while ago. I missed the big run, and I got out of that. Actually, I got out of that and found out Cathie Wood got out of it at the same time. So I was,
she read your tweet.
Brilliant.
And so I just thought, this is going to. I'm not comfortable here anymore. But bringing it back down to market value, I just think a lot of companies are. I look at it as a whole because there's so many companies out there that are quite overvalued in this market, and I think they have to correct. But definitely, Salesforce is a tad over. And as I mentioned, Apple I'm okay with, but look at it as a whole and what type of market we're in. If we weren't in such a strong, are we in a bull or bear market? What do you guys think? Are we bearish or are we bullish?
Pete and I had this discussion in the last podcast, and I'm quite cautious at the moment, Kat. I'm because we've got so many headwinds, and we've not spoken about all the lockdowns that you guys have had, in Australia. It looks like we've had plan A, we've plan B, we're heading towards plan C, and we're going to go through the alphabet. It's going to be alphabet soup here in the UK next year, and we're going to have more lockdowns. You know, we haven't got a Scooby-Doo what our politicians are going to do from one week to the next. So with regards
one
to
day
markets, I'm quite cautious at the minute, and I've been taking some stock. Reducing some stock down and getting rid of some of my speculative holdings and so on and so forth. So I'm more cautious than Pete at the moment, but the market has been up and down and all the rest of it, and we'll talk about that a bit later on regarding the UK markets. But, your ASX, going back to ASX, is up 11% year to date. Our FTSE 100, is down probably about 2%, and our FTSE 250 is probably down about 4 or 5%. It's just our markets just haven't travelled as well, and they can't get out of their own way. And until we can get, using technical analysis, above 7,400, we're still trapped, And the likelihood is that if we do get a big knock, we're suddenly going to be going sub 7,000 here. So in the UK side of it, I'm quite cautious at the moment. There's still going to be more takeovers, but, it's just the way it is at the minute. No one knows what the government's going to do next. And I don't like investing when the market's being overshadowed by politics and politicians.
It is very loud, yes. Sorry, Penny.
On the US market, I think what might be starting to happen or what we can expect to happen is a rotation where some of these overvalued tech names start to soften and the money moves more into the old-fashioned Dow Jones and help the S&P 500 sort of wins both ways because it's got a lot of tech in it and it's got a lot of old-fashioned in it. So if there is a rotation from the NASDAQ, which seems a bit hot on valuation, if there is a rotation where the old-fashioned stuff does better, then which would make sense with raising interest rates because, value stocks are supposed to do better in a rising interest rate environment and growth stocks should not do as well because the PE multiples should contract. And the amazing thing about the US market is that they haven't been impacted by COVID in the way that European, probably Australian markets have, in that the politicians have pretty much done nothing in America, from what I can tell. And it almost carries on like a massive party, irrespective of COVID. And if you look at the economic numbers coming out of America, it is so powerful. I mean, the growth is, what, 7% or even higher? I mean, you know, GDP growth at these kind of rates is stunning. And I think in the UK, we're at real danger of pretty much slipping into recession. I think Europe's in trouble of that. I don't know how Australia's doing. And I think my fear on the markets, I think if you said to me, are we now in a bull or bear market? I could only say we are in a bull market, because when you look at, you know, a NASDAQ making all-time highs and S&P making all-time highs, that drives the markets. You know, we're in a bull market. But when I look forward, my worry is around March, April. We nearly always get a sell-off in March, April, and I can see that happening big time.
What are your thoughts, Katarina?
I think I am very cautious. I don't want to sit on the fence with it, but I see in the American market, I'm just waiting for it to bust, to be honest with you.
You can buy some more lower down, yeah? Average down. Average up, cash even.
Cash is a position, we know.
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely it is, yeah. We've had that discussion, yeah.
And so, you know, I just feel like it's becoming a really overinflated balloon. I think tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow their time, the Fed is having a meeting. I think there's, you know, discussion. So that's going to.
We're recording this on Wednesday. Is that the 15th? 15th of December. So yeah. So tomorrow on Thursday, the Fed's going to make its decision. Yeah.
So that we'll see movement there. I really do think it's a. Personally, I just think it's a very full balloon right now, needing a good pullback, which I think it's been getting. But as I say that, I still am looking at ways to get in certain things. I'll still be adding to my Apple. I'll still be, but more so when there's a pullback.
Yeah.
And SPY, my S&P 500. Always in that. That was my very first American, very first US trade. So the S&P 500, you can't go wrong with that, as you said before.
And you've just been adding to that over time, dripping in.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a very good strategy. It's a good strategy.
That's an ETF, isn't it?
It is.
Exchange fund. Yeah.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
So, yeah. Kat, with you being cautious now on the markets per se, and if money comes out of the market, invariably triggers a bit of a revulsion regarding crypto. So let's talk about cryptos and how you got into cryptos, but what your thoughts are about cryptos.
Okay. There's, I think what people, crypto is very many facets. So we've got, it's like the stock market, you've got your investors and so forth. With crypto, you have your, what they call the orange pill, you know, Bitcoiners. So they're that is the people who believe in that utility of Bitcoin, that it is, some people believe it's going to replace fiat. I don't think so, not in our lifetime anyway, but I believe it will become the internet currency. And that's where I started, because I really believed in what Bitcoin can do, and the fact that it was solving problems, and that's how it started. It was out to solve a problem, and that's where I came into it. And then I started to get into, obviously, Ethereum, which, you know, having your smart contracts, etc. And then you come into all your other altcoins and go from there. And then we've got our NFTs and our DeFi system, and we've got all of that. But I just think the basic, if Bitcoin, I believe, I always held 10% of my whole portfolio in Bitcoin. As I mentioned earlier, that has come up a bit more, but I started getting into it a lot more heavily because I can see the way forward, and this is where I think we are going, and being more open to it. Because if you don't understand what Bitcoin is about, and I'm not the person to explain, you know, what does Bitcoin do, because I am not that smart to be explaining what Bitcoin does.
That's absolutely cool. I just wanted to just go back a little bit, if I may, though. You said 10% of your portfolio. Is that 10% of your free investing trading pot?
So if I had every dollar in my trading accounts invested, 10% at one point, it never used to be more than 10% would be in Bitcoin. So I would have a pot, but I would be adding to all my little pots slowly. But yeah, it would be an even amount. And that was just because I was still learning about what it was. And it enticed me. I saw the dollars going up. I saw it all starting to come up, you know, I think I got in at about 8,000 US.
Yep.
And was adding, and then suddenly I see it at, you know, 24,000. It's just like,
wow.
Yeah. So, brilliant. And then going from there up to, you know, 69,000, I think we had at our all-time high. I think it's about 48, 49 at the moment. But I think it's going a bit lower, but yeah, so.
Okay, so what I noticed as well, though, is that you're talking and discussing with other people now, the NFTs and art, and, you know, I saw something the other day about essentially a digital yacht being sold for £600,000, and I was like, $600,000, I was like, wow, this NFT thing is getting quite serious now, you know. Are you going to start, are investors and traders going to start collecting shoes and football shirts and so on and so forth that are digital?
Have you seen how much Messi's cards are going for?
I've seen that,
NFTs.
Yes. It's crazy.
And I'm a football fanatic. Like, I love my football. But I won't be paying.
Who's
that.
Your team, Katerina?
United.
United? Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, carry on. Move on. Carry on.
My whole family's United, except for my eldest son, who's Arsenal. I don't know what happened there, but, lost that one.
You might need to have a word with him. Okay. So have you started purchasing anything regarding NFTs then? Have you made some purchases yet?
Yeah. So actually, the kids don't know this yet.
They will now.
You sold them.
So I actually have bought them some basketball because I do love their basketball, their NBA. And so I went on to the NBA Top Shots and bought them some NBA NFTs. I am also about to, and I will just, if you don't mind, just do a little shout out to Fortuna Car Club. They've just launched theirs. Steve was lovely enough to gift me an NFT, my, you know, cool sports red car, my red sports car, very red, gold, and black.
Is that the one in your avatar above your avatar?
It is.
Now?
It's
So spot that on your account. We'll give that a shout out. Yes. Go for it.
Yeah. So he was, and I thought, you know, I love to support people who have supported me. You know, that was so nice of him. So I figured I'm buying, I'll mint some more. Cars for the kids. So I just want them to get into the NFT. My kids are very skeptical well. I've got one in banking, so you can imagine he just thinks crypto is crazy, but yes. You know, owns some. And the other one's in marketing, and he's quite getting the grasp of it. But I want them to have it because NFTs, I hear of in the metaverse, they're buying yachts and plots of land and all this, you know, crazy things for us is crazy, but these are very small amounts of things that are happening compared to what else is. Whereas I'll just come back to the NFT. I believe it's an investment in art. It's the same. You think about it as art. It's just a digital form of art. Mm-hmm. We can go and hang that up if we want to. We can. You look at, they're amazing. I love them. Boss Beauties, you know, they had their first NFT hanging up at on Wall Street. Like, oh. You know. And
a lot of it's about collectibles now as well, isn't it, regarding the NFTs?
It is.
Especially
It
back when the
is.
NBA got involved, everyone's like, oh, like baseball cards. That's what the premise was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you know, and but a lot of them aren't just the arts. You have things, but you have courses behind them. So for Bus Beauties, they're doing raising funds. A lot of the funds go towards providing young girls scholarships for university or college, and engineering or tech side of things to for the young girls. I think that is brilliant. Like, what a great cause. So, and a lot of them do that. There was one I was listening to today on Spaces. I listen to a lot of Spaces, and one I was listening to today about bike riding and getting people out and about and healthy and bikes and so forth. It's just it's not in the NFT world. It's not just a piece of art. A lot of the time, there's going to be something, a cause, something behind it. So, and those ones that go for, millions of dollars, you're going to count those on one hand.
Yeah.
So that's just great
I
news.
think the beauty of what we've spoken about before is the fact that you want to see more females and women being dominant in across the whole space. So
Yeah.
it's brilliant that we've got yourself coming on the show. You are our first female investor trader, so we'll give you a little round of applause there. But you're hanging out with individuals like Aileen Amy, Paula Rojas and Jessica Amir, and those are the sort of people we want to speak to. And they're building a very inclusive thread out there regarding the business of investing. Why shouldn't women be able to lead and dominate that space? It's always been all, men, grey suits. It's boring,
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is actually why I started this account. I do have another Twitter account called New City Style, and that was all about, I was on there initially for fashion because I'm a stylist as well, and that all started back then. And then I got onto FinTwit more over there. But I started this account because I wanted to really concentrate on getting more women into investing. And the reason being, I wanted women, I want women to be responsible for their own money.
Indeed.
I don't want them having to go, okay, I'm married here, and what he has, I have half of. No, you have your own money, and if you guys share, that's whatever that goes from there. But have your own so that you're in a marriage, in a relationship, in there for each other, not for the money. Because I've seen it firsthand happen. I'm seeing it firsthand happen. Women are in relationships, unfortunately, because they can't get out. And further to that, over 30% of a woman's superannuation, I'm not sure what you call it in the UK. So
Yeah,
I
what does
think
that
in
mean? What is that, a pension?
it's you I think in the US it's a 401k. So
Yeah,
it's
like an ISA. We have a thing called an ISA.
a percentage of your wage goes to it. So when you retire, you
Oh,
get
it's a
this.
pension. Yeah, that's we
It's
call that.
just a pension. Yeah,
That would
yeah.
be a company pension kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. So we call it superannuation. And then it's an average of
You've got a better name
every.
for it.
Yeah.
Our name's a bit rubbish.
Pension. Geez, it makes you feel old, doesn't it? Like, yeah, I'm getting a pension now. Here you get So on average, a woman's pen super pension, a woman's superannuation when
Love
she
that.
reaches
That's what we call.
retirement is 30% less.
Yeah.
And that's a woman who has,
Wow.
generally kept working. But why? It's because she had to stop. Well, she didn't have to, like, she stopped to have children,
Yeah.
which the government's not paying you, and I don't think they should, but the government's not paying you to go home and, have your children. That is something that we want to do, whether a man does it, a woman does it, the care of it, not birth the child. Geez, that'd be interesting. But it is. But yeah, we'd have half the population. But it would be, that it would be interesting to see nowadays that, oh no, actually it was. It was about a year ago. I remember looking at the stats. It was just over 30% less. So
Wow.
That's where you go, okay, there's that inequality when you get to that age. If you're just going to be going to work and doing your thing and being doing all the normal blue collar or, you know, middle class type of things that you do, and rely on a superannuation.
And it's the same here in the UK. It's exactly the same, you know.
Yeah.
A woman, a girl, I never know what word to use. A non-male retired. And you know, they, as you say, they're 30% less or whatever in their pension. And, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great that, you know, to have you on the show and to, I mean, you know, there just aren't enough female investors and traders, and the more the better, you know. And I mean, I don't know what your thoughts on this are, but we've seen it so many times, this idea that women actually have mental psychological attributes that make them better investors, and number one is patience.
Yes, it's so true. I've seen or maybe thought up some studies about that, but you know,
dreamed up.
No, I have read somewhere that they say women do make better investors, but you know, it's coming into that saying, you know, it's great to see more women in the field. You've got younger women now as well who are going, oh, what do you mean? We're just, you know, you don't play that woman, that the female card. It's not playing a female card. It's just young. I've seen a lot of young women go, oh, but we're, you know, it doesn't matter, male or female. No, it doesn't matter. But you haven't faced the hurdles that some of us who are a bit older who have faced in the workforce about, you know, coming up, you know, to, you've got male and female, the inequality in pay, you know, all of that, they haven't faced that. So that's why getting women into this area of whatever it may be, investing, trading, crypto, whatever they want to, but being a lot more responsible for their own money and to grow their own money, I think that is so important to me. And it just brings diversity. We don't have enough of that, because I don't want 50, 60, 70-year-old white men making the decisions for my children. You know, I'm, you know, I want diverse, I want women,
not,
I want...
It's not like they've done a good job, is it?
Exactly. I want every, because we come from such different walks of life. Let's you know, utilize that, and that's where I think female and women come in, and seeing some of these like Paula come in, you know, in the mining, like her father was a geologist, and just coming in and being in that world is amazing. You know, I love seeing all of that. It's not all about, you know, female power. Yay, I'm not into all of that. And hey, I'm as cheeky as anything on Twitter. Like, you know, I'm not precious.
I know you're cheeky, man. I've seen some very risque videos, gifts, you know. I think the beauty of it all, though, is what you keep saying, what I keep hearing from you, Katerina, is about financial independence. You can be with a partner or whatever, but you've got your own independence. You can do with what you want with your own monies, and your own, determine your own destiny, you know, from investing or from business or whatever you want to do. You know, you've
and
got
that applies to men as well,
as well as men. Yeah. But you know, corporate finance, you've got Jessica, who's a market strategist at Saxo Bank, you know, they're creating their own path. They're not waiting for other people to create them for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and what I find too, a lot of the women in this sector, because I, you know, myself, Paola and Jessica, you know, we became quite good friends. Actually, I was out with Paola last week as well. And they're just so supportive. We may not talk every day or every week or every month, but when we do talk, it's just so supportive. And I love that in this world as well, because 90% of the women they're here, you ask them a question, you're anything you need, everyone supports each other. And that's
fantastic. Great. That is very fantastic. Right. Katerina, we've been running now for a good 40-odd minutes. So I'm going to just round back round and come back to the ASX. So we've not really talked about the ASX as much as we could have done. What's your current holdings on the ASX? And are you, what's your view of the market? It's done well reasonably this year. It's outperformed the UK markets per se. but have you got some holdings there? What's your thoughts on it? Going to
Yes, I've limited. I'm down to about 5, I think it is, on my ASX.
5%.
Yeah. Sorry, what was that?
Your holding percentage, is that 5%?
Yep.
Yeah.
No. Five companies.
Five
I'm down
holdings,
to
okay.
five holdings, five companies on there. I started there as well in the. So I've got, some banks in there. A bank. One, sorry, now I've only got one bank, one insurance company. I construction because I'm in that industry, in the architecture construction industry. So I've got some in there. They're pretty pathetic. And
You did choose wisely on that one. You're still thinking about it.
no. Yeah, that's one of those ones where you're going, yeah, I'm not letting you go because one day, and it's just like I've got to cut that emotional tie. I really do. I love the company, but I really have to cut that
Yeah,
emotional
it's
tie
that
with it.
learning from it's, we learn more from our losses. It goes back to that reiteration what you said earlier. We learn more from the ones that go wrong. It makes us think as to why. And you've already answered your own question there. You've got an emotional attachment to that one, and that's the biggest thing that happens in all markets. People are like, "Oh, I'm wedded to this stock," and it's like, I've done it recently with a stock. I believed in the management, believed in what the technology was, and it's just gone poop, 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 poop.
Yes. And I know we all say you have to remove your emotion, like you cannot have emotion in trading, but you have to remember emotion is your instinct as well.
Yes.
So you need to listen to that a little bit. Whereas, yeah, my instincts was, yeah. No, I did quite well in it. And that was probably one of my early ones going, oh, what do I do now? Because I didn't go in with a plan. See,
Okay,
now if I
Katerina,
go in,
you can name the stock. Stop talking around it. Tell us what it's called.
it's Lendlease.
Right. Okay. Well, it's a structurally still a sound company though. It's
Yeah,
just a case of do they need a fresh management there then?
they just did in June,
Okay.
July. They've got a new they and that's probably why I've held on to it
Okay.
because I'm like, you got to give him some time to come in and make some change. And I believe in him. I know him from previous so previous company. So I am holding on to that one. My absolute gem right now, which has kept my portfolio over 100% so far this year on my ASX, is AVZ. So go the lithium.
Yes. I mean, the lithium markets have been an absolute tear, and AVZ has done exceptionally well, hasn't it? So when did you get
Yes.
into that one?
I got in, well, probably a little bit late, but I got in, I think, was it? My average now, I'll tell you what my average in, because I think I got in at about 26 cents,
Right.
25 cents, 26 cents. So my average would be, because I've kept adding to it, would be about 31 cents now,
That's
30 to
well,
31 cents.
yeah, that closed today at 71, so you've done very, very well there, mate. Well done.
Yeah, so that's kept me alive.
What's your
The
thoughts on that, Kat? Are you going to let that one run or are you going to slice it? What's your thinking?
I will whatever I do won't make that much of a difference to these guys, but no, I will definitely at the time I have so my plan for this is once it gets to 80 cents, I'm just going to have another relook at it. But I think my take profit target is going to be definitely a dollar. I'll be taking profit, but I'd like to leave my initial in there and just see how that goes. But yeah, I'll definitely be taking some profit out of it because, yeah, we need to.
I mean, it's very interesting because obviously it's had a really, really strong year, Caterina. It's a 52-week low of 9 cents, a 52-week high of 79, and it's at 71 at the moment. But a lot of them have done exceptionally well over the la last year, and we've got our good friend Claudio H. Fox for helping me actually refine my mining strategy and investing strategy, and he got me into the lithium space as well. Because all I used to do before was just donate and stick money into a hole and just throw it away. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's been absolutely phenomenal on that side of it. Because Lake Resources has been the one that has done exceptionally well also. At one stage it was up
Culturally.
1900%, as you know. And a few, I know that some of your followers and some of the people that you speak with are in that stock and have done exceptionally well out of it. But the other one that I got into as well in that space used to be called Iron Ridge Resources, is now called Atlantic Lithium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and you've got Stuart Crowe involved in that. I know he speaks with you a couple of
Oh,
times
yeah.
and tweets with you a few times. So that's the other stock that I hold regarding that space. But I think it's a space regarding electric vehicles. And you mentioned Tesla earlier. That the demand is there, and Claudio keeps talking about the disconnect. There's just not going to be enough lithium for the number of cars that we need. There might be enough of the NFT cars that we need, but there's never going to be enough for the real electric cars, you know?
But then even you say that we need the electricity for the NFTs
Yes,
and
you
our
do.
grids
Yes, you
don't
do.
handle it.
And
So we
yes.
have to upgrade those grids to handle the new wave of coming, new things coming through. So
Absolutely agree. Absolutely
yeah.
agree. Agree.
You were
So
talking
where
there
do you
about.
see the ASX going next year then, Kat?
I think definitely our banking will do well. And the reason I say our banking is because I'm bringing crypto into this. Australia are one of the forefronts in adoption
Okay.
and of cryptocurrency. And we've already got CommSec putting out, its a Bitcoin ETF and that sort of thing. That's all been approved. I don't think it's quite out yet. I wouldn't. I'm not. I will rather hold my own Bitcoin, but it's a great way for people to get into it. And I just think so. I think this adoption of things may stir them up a little bit and get things going there. But now I've said that, that's the top's probably in. But
You just called it spot on.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Yeah, I think Westpac had some really bad news today and then ended up, I think the shares went up. I'm not sure, but yeah, so it was just, yeah. But that's my only reasoning behind there. I think we're quite okay with our economy. We did go into a little brief recession with COVID, but we've held quite strong. We can't do any more lockdowns. So we just can't do any more lockdowns. I think we've had enough. And I just don't think, our economy could handle another one. But, what do I know? We're 95% vaccinated or, what have you here
That's very
in
good.
New
That's
South Wales.
Yeah,
95%
is very good.
Yeah.
The problem
so,
is we're, these kind of levels of vaccination in the UK, but we're now in a full-on panic over the latest variant. So, it's so difficult to know what's going to happen. It's incredibly unpredictable. The ASX, I'm not that aware of it. Obviously, the Australian stock market. What does it have much mine? I mean, I know the Australian economy is very much about mining. Is mining a big chunk of the ASX?
Oh, it depends what lens you're looking at it, though. I don't concentrate a lot on mining because I'm not into some of the certain areas of mining.
Yeah.
But it is what's held our economy for quite some time.
Yeah.
So, I'm just looking at it in that respect. Yes, it is.
Because you were, I mean, you guys were saying about how lithium is going to be in demand for electric vehicles. I have no idea whether the ship has now sailed on lithium or not. But what does strike me, and I've recently played this theme because I bought some Serica Energy recently, SQZ in the UK, and that was playing the theme of the net zero green policy by our government, and I think this is being repeated around the world, is basically being completely screwed up. You know, we all know there has to be a transition from fossil fuel to renewables, but the problem is doing that transition. And I just think at the moment they've got it completely wrong. And they are just, you know, we've got this thing where you cannot build a mine anywhere around Europe now. You won't be able to build a mine around America. And you know, Australia seems to be about the only place where at the moment you can probably build a mine, but that's probably going to change as well. So you can see the situation where oil prices, gas prices are already becoming a problem, although they softened in recent weeks, oil has particularly. But I can see the same problem in everything, in iron, in aluminium, in copper, in nickel, in cobalt, in every metal, every resource you can name. I think there's going to be shortages, and I think the prices are going to be just going to stay high or go higher. And on that vein, I'm sort of thinking myself, and I hold Glencore shares. I mean, I think the company's about as ethically sound as, you know, Attila the Hun. but you know, the simple reality is mining is a dirty business, and I don't think you can get around that. And I'm sort of thinking I might end up buying more Glencore, I might buy some BHP, or I might buy some Rio, or go for a fun BRWM. I haven't really decided what I'm going to do, but I definitely get a sense that I need more mining exposure.
Pete, yeah. That's partly why a lot of the stocks that have done exceptionally well on the Australian market and elsewhere are going down the ESG route, bizarrely, right? And they're looking, especially with the likes of Lake Resources and others, they're looking at clean lithium, they're looking at using hydropower, they're looking at the infrastructure, looking at the cost of bringing it out of the ground, so it doesn't expose the environment to too much pollutants. That's the reason why they're all going down.
But it's all adding cost. You know, more and more
costs. Some of it will subtract costs, Pete. Will subtract costs.
Well, no, in the transition period, they've got to spend money. They've got to invest to get...
Oh, yeah, there'll be the transition period. But over the longer term, the costs will be extracted via all the other CapEx stuff being reduced.
You think converting all of your massive dumper trucks and massive dozers and massive, you know, all the different machines they use on mines, converting all those to hydrogen power, the cost of that is absolutely immense. And that is going to need more materials.
And I think what's happening there is it's slowly being done. And this is why, because Australia's we're quite behind on the whole net zero, you know, targets. But yeah. I think part of that is because we are looking at doing the slower transition. And, you know, you already see the hydrogen trucks coming through and all that, but it's not the whole fleet so far.
Yeah, it's a fraction. It's such a tiny bit at the moment.
Yeah, and well, you see, when was it? I think it was about 6 months ago, if that, BHP purchased another company. I can't remember it off the top of my head. And so BHP can then start coming more into the green space. The other one would keep doing, you know, the dirty fossil fuels. But, you know, so they are. I remember putting out a tweet actually saying, so if we're going green because these big companies get so much money from the government, then what? Like, where are they going to get their money from then? Who's funding that then? You know, how does that work? And then guess who's...
It's all higher price.
Us.
Yeah.
The taxpayers are paying for the bulk of everything to start with, as with all governments. They make sure the taxpayers pay first, and then the corporations benefit. And then when things go wrong, the taxpayers pay again. that is a circle. As the song goes, the circle of life, Katerina. Yeah. You know?
But the benefit will be for our children, our children's children, because we've stuffed it up enough, especially the economy. They're going to be paying for ages for you know, this pandemic. So, let's leave them something a little bit.
Absolutely.
Pat, you mentioned in the earlier talk about crypto, you mentioned the metaverse. I think a lot of our listeners will be thinking, what the blinking hell's that? you know, and
it's so much fun.
They may be aware that Facebook has renamed itself Meta. And so, I mean, you know, you can sort of clarify what I'm saying, but my sense of what the metaverse is. I mean, the best way of looking at it is you know, you've seen the film The Matrix, where we're all like little white magnets that, you know, we're all plugged in, and basically we're all plugged into like a virtual world. And there's this idea of sort of private ring-fenced metaverses. So for instance, Facebook, Apple, they're probably going to create their own private small metaverses. So it's like you can live a different world. So it's like in the real world, I'm paralyzed and I live in a wheelchair, but in my virtual life, I'm going to be the king of the world, you know, and I'm going to be able to run fast and Usain Bolt, and I can fly and I can do everything. And so it's this. I remember there was a thing called Second Life, which I heard about 15 years ago in a nightclub talking to some woman or whatever. And it was a story. Oh, wait,
Pete, I don't think she was talking about the metaverse at that stage, Pete, honestly.
But she was taking you to her metaverse.
Oh, she was going on about this thing called Second Life, and it just sounded utterly bonkers to me. You know, I just thought this girl's completely barking. But that's really what it is. It's like a sort of virtual world. And then, so these are all like the sort of, and obviously within your virtual world, so where I'm king of the world, and where, you know, Kat is queen of the universe and whatever she's going to be, and Pete is the president of the universe. When we're in all these virtual worlds, it's like we'll want to hang paintings on our wall. So we'll buy an NFT of a painting that we put on our wall in our virtual palaces, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then
gone to the gallery to see essentially that NFT. Pete, there's galleries already there.
Absolutely. Mm. So everything, Pete, will be delivered to you via your computer over the internet. Your world will be you'll create your own metaverse. That's the whole point of it all. So Facebook, you have a virtual world of all of your friends and all your family to be there visually within your own metaverse. That's what will happen eventually with Facebook, I think.
Well, there's this idea that you have like sort of a ring-fenced, walled-off, walled-garden kind of approach to a metaverse.
Absolutely.
Like Apple.
Yeah.
But then you'll have this other thing where these metaverses become compatible with one another. So you can sort of sign up and be part of the Facebook metaverse, and I could be in the Apple metaverse, but you'll be able to walk out of one and into another. They'll just be seamless. So we will live in a world that's completely a virtual world. And, you know,
It's but you're going to be able to attend concerts in the metaverse, things that you would never be able to do otherwise. You know, you're going to be able to attend, go to art galleries in the metaverse. There are art galleries in there already. Today I saw someone got married in the metaverse. We allow our minds to open, especially of, you know, anyone over, you know, 15, but like, you know, it's just like allow our minds to open and accept this. It is amazing what is there, like what the possibilities are. Like I could have been interacting with Snoop Dogg, you know, in the metaverse. He's got something, you know, there was something in there with Snoop Dogg. And yes, you're going to have these odd things that happen and all that sort of thing, but that's life. That's, you know, it happens everywhere. It just gets blown up a little bit more in the crypto. But open your mind and think what is possible. Anything is possible in that metaverse. So, you know,
as we head towards a metaverse, it's back to this thing about resources and whatever. It's like we are going to need more powerful computing, better storage, faster chips, all that kind of stuff. So you know, the sort of infrastructure of technology is, there's just going to be even more demand for it, like 5G and all this kind of stuff. It's just going to be more and more and more pervasive.
It is. And do you know, it's because there was the big thing about Bitcoin and the energy it uses to mine Bitcoin and so forth. And now you've got in the States the waste of certain mining in the States, not of Bitcoin mining, but of traditional mining. There's waste that is quite dangerous to move and takes a lot of energy as well to move. That waste is now being used for Bitcoin mining. So there's no wastage and it's better for the environment. So there's all these new ways of coming up to get the energy better because it is a concern that is something, the energy concern is going higher. But yeah, and then you've got, as you said, the chips, the computers, it's all going to get bigger. So I'm a goodness, I'm an Apple holder. Oh, hello. It's just gonna get bigger.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, Kat, we've been running now for 62 minutes. I wanted to just say thank you ever so much for coming on to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. We're absolutely gonna have to have you back, because we've basically skimmed the surface on NFTs, Metaverse, Apple, you know, Salesforce, and life in Australia. You've not even spoken about, you know, the comparison between being locked down and being able to go into a lovely beach, you know, or see the beautiful landscapes of Sydney, you know, versus Windsor or Leicestershire per se. So we're gonna have to have you to come back. But I wanted to end on something really, really nuanced that you touched on just a few seconds ago, when you touched on about anything is possible. You know, and you started 5 years ago, and you're already moved from boring conservative ASX stocks to US stocks, to the metaverse, to NFTs, to cryptos, to Bitcoin, to Ethereum. And I'm for many people that are sitting around, going to be listening to this, all different parts of the world, they're going to be like, wow, I need to follow this woman on Twitter, because she's just a whirling dervish. She's a force to be reckoned with, you know. And I would recommend anyone listening to this to just follow the Twitter handle @_MTAUS, and that's Katarina Ali. Katarina, it's been absolute joy to have you on here today. I'm sure Pete's going to agree with me as well.
Oh, been fantastic.
Thank you.
It's like speaking with Kylie Minogue. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that.
Love it. No. I am so honoured to have been the first female trader on here. So thank you so much for the opportunity to chat with you. I love you guys, and I listen to your podcast, you know, almost every week. I love the banter between you two, so keep that up, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Brilliant. Thanks.
We will definitely be speaking, Kat, and if you just have a chat with some of your other female, you know, force of natures, let them know that we're coming looking for them, and let them know that where we are, because we'd like to speak to them as well.
They're much smarter than me, so you will have so much fun with them.
I doubt that, but yeah, we'll look forward to it. We're gonna let you go now. You can stay on the line and listen if you want. If not, what we're gonna do, because we've done 65 minutes, Pete and I are gonna do a quick little pause, and then we're gonna carry on, and we're gonna do a part two to fill in the stuff that we normally talk about. So this will be going out probably in 2 days' time. It'll be our Friday, probably your Saturday by the time it goes out. But then we'll roll it over Christmas. So everyone will have plenty of time to have a listen to it, Kat.
Wonderful. Again, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you ever so much, mate. Take care.
You too.
God bless. Bye-bye for now. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Pete, what do you think of that, mate?
Just brilliant. I mean, yeah, we were talking before the call just how surreal it is that, you know, you can be in Leicester, I can be in Windsor, and Katarina's around the other side of the world in Sydney. And I mean, it's, you know, in these days of Skype and stuff, everyone's so used to it, but it is stunning, you know, that 15, 20 years ago, you couldn't have dreamed of doing it. You couldn't even have had a phone call. You know, it's, a phone call would have cost you 100 quid to speak for an hour, you know. So it's just mind blowing.
Yeah, I mean, we've done exceptionally well to get a Kat on here, and it's been a while in the making, but it was so worth it, you know. And I think for us in the UK, I think we're probably far more conservative, in the sense of a lot of us a little bit like, ooh, Bitcoin, ooh, Ethereum, you know, we've shied away from it, you know. So I think having an education on that front from Katarina is so well worth a listen regarding that. And it's all about learning.
A lot of it's our age, isn't it? It's like, you know, obviously we're both in our 30s, but once you get into your 30s, you get a bit old, you know. It's hard to, you know, you just don't learn in the same way. I mean, the thing that amazed me about Kat is that, you know, from what she said, you know, we can sort of, you know, guess what her age is. She says she's got a grown-up son who works in banking. You know, it's incredible how her brain is like an incredibly young brain. That's how I would phrase it. You know, she's interested in so many things and involved in so many things. I mean, It just that you said whirling dervish, and it just sounded exhausting to me. You know, I'm the man who turns my brain on for probably 2 hours a day at most. You know, whereas her brain's running for 38 hours a day. You know,
this is the beauty, Pete, of all things to do with life. Right, We find the energy, the time, and the resources to do the things we want to do. Right,
yeah.
Kat's working full time. She's raised 2 children. Right. She's taken the time to go out and learn. She's taken the time to go and attend courses, taken the time to find out things that she didn't know. We can all sit back and try and copy other people, to try and learn from other people. But I think the thing is, it's about the fact you make the time to do the things you want to do. And we're always saying, oh, I haven't got time for that. I haven't got time for that. I haven't got time for that. But you know what? The minute one of our best friends rings up and say, oh, mate, you know what? This is happening. We make the time to do it.
Yeah.
So if we want to make the time to learn, yeah, about investing, the metaverse, NFTs, Bitcoin, Ethereum, or just boring vanilla stocks and ETFs or investment trusts, we can.
Yeah, it's about making the time. Priorities, isn't it?
And
enthusiasm. Yeah, no, that's such a great point. Joe, it's funny, thinking about Kat's sort of ability to soak up so many things, to be such a sponge, it really reminds me of yeah, I've had meetings. There's a couple of people that I know. Well, it's probably 3 of them that I can. That I think I might even have mentioned on podcast. Of course, obviously Michael Taylor at Shift in Shares. There's Tim Sunderland. So he's on Twitter. It probably is at Tim Sunderland or something. And there's another guy, Steve, who I think is Name of the Aim, NAIM on Twitter. And the thing that strikes me about all those 3 guys, I mean, they're all in their sort of, I guess, late 20s, sort of 30s kind of age. And their ability to soak up information, and the sort of plasticity, is that a word? I don't know.
Plasticity
of their brains, the way that their brains can think about things, and they can take in information, and they can learn so much so fast. It's just astonishing. And, you know, my brain doesn't work anything like that anymore. I mean, maybe it did once. Well, I doubt it even did once. But you know, it's like I can work in very short bursts of learning and energy, but literally I can only do 3 or 4 of those bursts a day, and they're probably about 45 minutes at the most. And then I'm exhausted. I can't do anything else. Whereas these guys have the ability to seem to be able to learn so much in such short times. And I think a lot of it is a young brain. I think it's a big advantage having a young brain.
I agree with you regarding the young brain. The other thing that Kat does as well is that she exercises religiously, you know, almost on a daily basis. She's exercising and going to the gym and doing her routine and keeping herself.
I do that in the metaverse.
And does it, you know, keep herself physically fit, Pete, and also maintaining a good diet. You know, that helps with the aging process. And, you know, I think the beauty of also living somewhere where the sun's out, you're getting all those natural ingredients as well that helps to keep you young. You know, you're seeing the brightness and the vibrancy of colours. You know, you're not seeing dull grey Windsor or dull grey Leicestershire. You know, it helps lift your mood, I think, sometimes living in a different environment.
Yeah, I imagine Sydney's rather nicer in terms of weather than Windsor and West Leicester.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Pete, what I want to do, because we've been running 71 minutes, is I want to take a little pause and make this part one of our Twin Peaks 64.
Yeah,
then just run straight on and make a new one for part B, and talk about the markets, talk about the charity stuff, and the Christmas stuff and all the rest of it. Okay?
Yeah, cool, brilliant, yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to end this here, folks. So just come back to us into part B with a few minutes, okay? Take care. God bless for now.
Bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with Sharepad from Sharescoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit Sharescoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.